WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, LA Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedloopodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedloopodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics.
This podcast is a Bleav Network and Luciete production.
Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by the Bleav Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis, and what a week slash weekend I experienced with Mania Week. WrestleMania 40, obviously, was in Philadelphia in this past weekend, but obviously, those that are in the wrestling business, or even fans in general, you know, all congregate in the town where WrestleMania is going to be in. And there's so many events with WWE and outside of WWE, so you had events, you know, like WrestleCon that was happening for a couple of days. Then, of course, there was all these other independent promotions, including Monster Factory, and we had our event. We've been here this past Thursday and had a great time working that show, so kudos to all of my Monster Factory brothers and sisters. As a matter of fact, our docuseries, Monster Factory, that's on Apple TV, has just been nominated for a Sports Emmy. I cannot believe it. A Sports Emmy we're being nominated for. So, congratulations to everybody at Monster Factory. Danny Cage, Missy Sampson, everybody. Every wrestler, every commentator, every trainee that's involved. You know, this is fruit of our hard work. And I'm hopeful that we can strike gold at the Sports Emmys. It's coming up in maybe a month or two, I think. But you know, me and Gabby is back with us, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to break down all of WrestleMania 40, both nights 1 and 2, and we talk about my crazy week at Mania Week. So let's not wait any further. Me and Gabby breaking down Mania Week starts right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, after a record-breaking, historic WrestleMania 40, we're back, and it's me and, of course, the one and only Gabby making her illustrious return. Thank you so much for coming back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am a mix of emotions. I'm still a little tired from a long week, and, you know, but still just excited about and so motivated about, you know, the experience of WrestleMania and, of course, some events that I did, and we'll get into that in just a moment, but I mean, it was truly, you know, it was an exciting time, you know, seeing so many people, you know, and just everything that the WWE did. I mean, they legitimately took over the entire region, Philadelphia, South Jersey, you name it. Like, everybody was, I mean, they were everywhere. So, you know, kudos to the WWE for always going above and beyond in the end for the fans.
I love it. I can't wait to hear about it.
Definitely. So I want to get into some numbers really fast because some incredible numbers were just released today. I'm quoting Variety Magazine, and I'm also quoting Fox Business. I'm going to talk about Peacock's most streamed event ever. Per Variety, WrestleMania 40 is the most streamed event, entertainment event, over, you know, ever on Peacock. You know, per the NBC Universal streamer, the two-night event at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia was viewed for 1.3 billion minutes over the weekend of April 6th and 7th. Based on the average minute audience, night one of this year's show was up 26% over night one from last year, while night two was up 30% from last year. It was also ranked the second biggest usage weekend
for Peacock of all time, ranked only behind the NFL wildcard game and the following day on January 13th and 14th. In addition, the Peacock special Bray Wyatt Becoming Immortal is the most viewed original sports WWE documentary through its first 7 days on the platform. The doc examined the life and career of Wyatt, who died suddenly in 2023 at just 36 years old. This is the latest record broken for WrestleMania 40. It was previously reported that the event was the most successful live event in WWE history. Per WWE, the gate for the event was up 78% compared to the previous record set last year, with 145,298 in attendance across both nights this year. Merchandise sales were up more than 20% over last year. So that was that. And of course, they're talking about shattering records and all those things. I can't believe it. And of course, last night at Monday Night Raw, they broke another Monday Night Raw record of a gate, and they had over 20,000 fans in attendance because they went with a smaller set. And they said that if the demand is there for tickets, they're going to continue to go with a smaller set. Your thoughts?
I think that in this case, accessibility matters. You know, before you had to buy the app and you had to or spend the $50 to order it on pay-per-view, things like that. I think now that the average Joe has internet TV where you have like the streaming, so you're not really paying for additional service to watch wrestling anymore, WWE rather. You're able to just log into your Peacock account. Like one of my best friends was like, yo, The Rock is back. Like, how do I watch Mania? And I'm like, Peacock. He's like, wait. What? I was like, yeah, no, like go to Peacock. I walked him through how to find it on Peacock, and he watched the full weekend. And I really think that at this point, like, accessibility matters in the world of wrestling.
It does. And I mean, also too, let's call it for what it is. Content is king, right? And they have been really knocking it out of the park with content, their ability to pivot in many situations, in which we'll talk about a little later as well. But I mean, truly, I mean, they're printing money right now. Like I was just around and just, you know, just talking about Cody Rhodes generating over $1 million in merchandise sales this weekend.
Insane. Insane.
I want you to think about that.
Over a $30 t-shirt. Like, how many, like, a mini t-shirts and how many, like, of his weight belts. Imagine, like, how many that is. They had for how much things cost.
Yeah, they had the Nightmare Family jackets for $100. They had, you know, all the t-shirts are going for $40. I think the youth might be 30, I think. But you just had to think about all the toys and all the everything, hoodies, jackets, you name it. Like, they had everything for all the wrestlers, but especially for Cody Rhodes. And it just really goes to show you he is the guy and he is the face of WWE, like it or not. And for people to say, oh, they're going to turn on them, the indication right now that they're not. Because when you have someone that is genuine on the microphone and his image and everything, and he's vulnerable, and he's going to give it to you straight. And I think a lot of people appreciate that. I can't tell you how many people were legitimately crying Sunday night.
I
was one of them. Let me explain something to you. When Daniel Bryan won, I was crying. When the guy I'll never mention on this show again won at WrestleMania 20, I was in Madison Square Garden. I was crying over that. When Kofi Kingston 5 years ago for Kofi Mania, think I wasn't crying. Everybody was. So I mean, it just really goes to show that this everyone was very invested in the story, understanding, you know, the background behind it, why it was so important for Cody to finish this chapter of the story. And now we're just going to just move forward and see what, you know, what else is going to happen. But I mean, they are legitimately printing money right now. And I think they're pushing some envelopes now, you know, and preparing for the Netflix move, which happens this coming January. But I got to tell you, the camera angles, we've said it before this show, we'll say it again.
Yes.
It is just so unique on how they're doing it. And it's not forced. It's very natural on how they're doing it. Let's talk about it.
I mean, just look at it. It just looked like it was done in 8K. Like, it's amazing how the old regime was holding them back. Like they were able to pull off these Campbell moves in these transitions so effortlessly and so smoothly, almost immediately. But like obviously they had the skills to do these things because they're able to pivot so quickly. So it's just amazing how much like they were truly being held back. It's unfortunate, but I'm glad we're here now, right?
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. When I was in my seat, and when WrestleMania came on, and they literally had, as if it was a, you know how you watch NFL, and they had the temperature on the screen, as if we were watching NFL on Fox or in, CBS or NBC. I'm just saying, man, I said this is a new regime now, and they went out of their way to plant the Triple H flag in the ground, and they're saying we're here now because Paul Heyman said it at the Hall of Fame on Friday night. Triple H, he said it's the dawning of the new era and all that. And his wife came out Sunday night and said this is the Paul Levesque era. So I know, this was his first WrestleMania, literally doing it on his own, and kudos. He did an incredible job with
Absolutely.
how all the matches were booked and everything, and we'll get into the card. But man, like this was really, and I have even there's a new opening graphic now, and it just like we love new, right? We love new. We love what's next. I'll never forget when the WWF went to a new graphic for WrestleMania 4. They debuted it at WrestleMania 4. I remember that. And they had the flying WWF logo in the mountains and stuff like that. And it was Gene Oakland that said, "The World Wrestling Federation, what the world is watching." You know what I mean? But it was different. I'm just like, this is cool, and I'm 9 years old, but I'm realizing, oh, this is really, really special. They're doing a whole new graphic now. So the fact that they were able to do that for this WrestleMania, and obviously a milestone WrestleMania, you had to pull out all the stops.
And it went over flawlessly.
100%. So let's talk about it. I was there, for night one, and there were no dark matches at all. No dark matches whatsoever on either night. As a matter of fact, last year I don't think there was no dark matches either, which is
No, I went right to it.
cool. We're right to it. And there was a DJ out there playing the just spinning records, but then the last song that he played was of course the Rocky theme. And I said, okay, they're getting ready to start. So we start off with obviously Coco Jones singing the national anthem, not America the Beautiful like they usually do, but it was Star Spangled Banner. And man, it was nice to kick that off. Then of course Triple H comes out, as I said before, and really hypes up the crowd to welcome them to WrestleMania. And the opening match was for the Women's World Championship, where the champion Rhea Ripley was facing the man Becky Lynch. And obviously they did a really good job, building the arc of the match, the story. And they had noted that Becky, because I had noticed even from my seat that something seemed very off about the match, and I couldn't understand why. And of course, I'm there live, I'm not listening to commentary, but it was revealed that Becky not only has strep throat, but she had over a fever of 102. So I'm just like, okay, well, that I just completely backtrack everything I said, because I'm just like, what is going on? It just didn't seem like, I felt like the energy was off. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
But
you definitely could tell that she was not the normal Becky that we're used to. I mean, 102 fever. Like, it's my, I see both sides of that story. What I mean by that is, like, I understand it's WrestleMania and you can't pull the WrestleMania match. But also, like, strep and 102 fever, she's contagious. You know what I mean? Like, big picture here, like, there's definitely something wrong. So, like, I definitely see her being the performer that she is, going out and trying to put on her best show. But also, like, that's like dangerously sick. That's not just like a cold cough, cough, sniffle, sniffle. Like, that girl is sick.
And on top of that, it was cold as balls out there Saturday night. Oh my God. Yeah, I okay, first off, I dressed for the occasion. Obviously, I had a hood, I had on my CM Punk hoodie that I got from the superstore, and I had my vest on. I'm thinking, okay, I should be fine. Oh no. It was cold and windy, and of course, we're right by the Delaware River. You know what I mean? So wind is going to be blowing off the water, and no. That was that was no fun. And you forget it's a wind tunnel in the stadium itself, so everybody was cold. So if
People
it
have
me
to realize like cold and like off the water cold are two different things. When you're off the
100%.
water, like it's a whole new level to that. Like good luck, Chuck, on that, 'cause that's the wind and water cold. That's just a hell of a combination.
Not to get off topic, I remember filming Man on the Ledge back in the fall of 2010. I think it was no like October, November 2010. And we I was doing background at the time. We were standing on right by the oh God, I forgot the name of the hotel now, but it was on 45th and Madison Avenue, because that's where the story was taking place, where this guy was gonna jump off the ledge. But anyways, we were out there 14, 15 hours. And we're right by the East River. Now, I said it was November, and we're standing out there because that's where the scene is taking place. And it was legit cold. I mean, it made it worse. You figure New York is already a wind tunnel as it is with all the high rises and everything. But that was the first time that I experienced off the water, cold. It's next level. Let me tell you that right now. But neither here nor there, but again, a lot of reversals in the match. Becky not only doing the disarm her, but she also did the arm bar. I mean, just a seesaw battle. And as time was starting to pick up, they were starting to get start to really get it in. But Rhea Ripley did hit her with her finish to retain the Women's World Championship, as I did predict. I felt as though that right now, let Rhea really have a dominant run, because I think the complaint was out there that she wasn't having enough challengers out there, or the matches weren't as compelling. But I think now that we're going to get into this new era, hopefully Triple H will be able to get some things going in regards to getting her some better matches. Your thoughts on that?
I think that it was a good addition to have Rhea win. I had Rhea winning as well. I think that now, like you mentioned, it's a time for her to get into it. Like we have the Liv Morgan, as we saw on Monday Night Raw, the Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. So I'm very curious to see if that will lead to them at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, did you see how she threw that chair? Oh,
Yes.
oh man.
She knocked the Sonic rings out of
I
homegirl. Yes.
mean, that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, oh my God. And I think that'll be good too. And I think if they could tap into that psychotic rage of Liv Morgan, who knows? Who knows what can happen? So we'll definitely see about that. Next up, we have the six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships, where obviously both sets of tag titles, were going to be up for grabs. You had A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, The Awesome Truth, that's Miz and R-Truth, Damian Priest and Finn Balor, Judgment Day, who were the defending champions, DIY of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, The New Day of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, and the new Catch Republic of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. First off, I love the fact that they had the graphic for DIY as the graphic for DX. I thought that was hilarious, number
Loved
one.
it.
That was that that popped me. But R-Truth.
Oh
Oh
my
my
goodness.
God.
Protect that man at all costs.
Good grief. I mean, he had the tag rope. He wanted a hot
Hot
tag.
tag.
Does the hot tag, does the Cena deal, five moves of doom, does that. He's trying to pin the man. It's just like,
I loved it.
oh my God. And then obviously, remember, as we stated, both sets of tag titles are on the line. So one tag team can grab one, or they can grab both, or another team can grab the other. So the first team to grab a set of titles were A-Town Down Under, who became the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. They got the blue belts, and we continue, and there's table spots and there's ladder spots and all types of chaos that we ex you would expect in a match like this. We're not expecting a five-star match out of the Tokyo Dome. Fuck you, Dave Meltzer. And I'll talk about him later, because he really pissed me off today. But he kind of made.
It showed that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because didn't he make a tweet or a comment beforehand and said that Austin Theory and what's his face were not going to be in the match. Only were they in the match because
It
they
was not,
freaking won.
yeah, but he made a, he kind of, there's a guy that I, that he's one of my contemporaries. He's been in the, in the wrestling journalism game for years. Mike Johnson out of New York, from PW Insider. And Dave Meltzer had put out something that, oh, WWE banned him from the press conference, which was absolutely false.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw that shit and I'm just like, you know what, man? Like, once again, that guy's a piece of trash. And okay. Yeah, we're gonna move on.
Moving on.
But
Understood. Understood.
anyway, yeah, but anyways, Miz and Truth, you know, Truth, you know, climbs it to the top, grabs the titles, and the Awesome Truth are the new Raw Tag Team Champions. So I thought it was a cool WrestleMania moment, for especially for Truth, you know, because we all know, you know. They would more than likely use him for comedy spots and stuff, but people forget he's the first African American NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and the man can go. He's 52 years old, and I had the honor of meeting him at Wale Mania this past Thursday. I promised not to get into my week stuff, but I was just gonna throw it in there, and we'll talk about it a little later. But just the nicest guy, you know what I mean? And you know, we really talked about music for a few minutes that I had an opportunity to talk to him. So he, you know, he's an all around good dude, and it couldn't have happened for a better dude. So kudos to Miz and Truth on becoming the Raw Tag Team Champions. Now we move on to tag team match. We have Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom, you know, along with Angel Berto and Alexa Lopez in their corner, facing Rey Mysterio and now Andrade, you know, Dragon Lee getting hurt. And it's crazy because I in my WrestleMania program, Dragon Lee is literally in there. So that they didn't have time to do new printing of that as far as the magazine is concerned. But of course, Carlito, Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, and Zelina Vega were in their corner as well. You know, seesaw battle, you know, typical, and they're doing a lot of lucha spots and stuff, as we all well know. And the spot of the night, oh my God, Rey Mysterio's on Andrade's shoulder and they do a high cross body outside the ring. I said, oh man, incredible. Incredible stuff. Your thoughts?
I think it reminds people that Andrade is actually a great wrestler. We didn't see him too much in his previous company, where people that if you didn't know Andrade got busy, they did not give you the impression that he did. I think that it had to remind people like, yo, this guy actually is not only Mr. Flair, he also is a really good wrestler. I mean, he's six something, and he truly is a luchador. He truly can get busy with the best of them. And another great example of a gentleman coming back home, we'll say, and essentially walking into a Mania match.
Yeah, and I mean, the cool thing is that for the last, you know, let's not forget, you know, he was in NXT. I mean, he was doing some bangers. I was at NXT TakeOver Philly
So was
in
I.
2018, and the match he had against Johnny Gargano. And I
Gargano.
mean, man, they legit went at it. And even I went to an NXT house show in 2017 in Bethlehem, PA, and it was Drew McIntyre and Andrade. And I said, yo, this guy is going to be special. Like you can just see it and how it moves. But the highlight of that match, and it made me grin from ear to ear, was Travis Kelce and Lane Johnson dressed up as luchadors to help out. And you know, of course, they you know got the dirty, you know, they got the Dirty Dom and whoever it was that was out there. And they end up costing the heels the match. And of course, Rey Mysterio and Andrade win. And they unmask themselves. And it is the Philadelphia Eagles, Lane Johnson, and Travis Kelce. Why did it make me smile? Because, of course, yours truly can keep a little secret. So last Wednesday at the world famous Mazda Factory, I was asked to be there because, I mean, they're doing something that I can't really talk about because I did sign an NDA for. You guys will know it when you see it. But this is out that they did do some training on Coach Danny Cage. Shout out to Danny Cage, the owner and head coach of the Monster Factory. He's basically showing them how to you know do some basic things in the ring because they did get the call from WWE. So they came, you know, we're right outside of Philadelphia. So it was really easy you know, for them to come over and spend the day with us. And I had a chance to talk to Kelsey for a little bit and Lane Johnson both. So for me, it was seeing them in the ring. I just thought it was awesome. That's like, wow, that's really cool. I was kind of a small part of watching them train, you know, to wrestle, which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next up, we have brother versus brother, Jimmy versus Jey Uso. And I don't know if it was the cold. I don't know. But something just seemed wonky in the match. I can't really describe.
So,
go ahead.
I think with that match, obviously they're brothers, right? But I think that because they've been tag teams for so long, they have pretty much the same moveset. So it's hard for them to kind of showcase they can do all of these things when they have this moveset that's very similar. I mean, it's only so many times you can see someone jump off the top rope and so many super kicks, you know what I mean? So I think that may have perhaps helped them back that they are so similar, that they have pretty much the same moveset, the same skill set.
Right.
But the match just didn't really do it for me. I'm not saying it was a bad match. I'm just simply saying there were better matches. And I think it's unfortunate because, again, like, that definitely had the potential. I mean, it's bloodline versus bloodline, essentially, brother versus brother. It's just something about the chemistry just didn't give what it needed to give that night. Maybe it was an off night. Maybe it was the weather. But I really think it has something to do with the fact that they have 99% of the same moves together.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I got from that.
Well, here's the thing. I remember reading Bret Hart's book. If you guys haven't read it, I encourage you to get it. It's called Hitman. It came out in 2007. Bret was talking about the match he had at WrestleMania 10 with Owen Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going over the match. They had everything pretty much intact. Until the night before, Bret Hart realized, wait a minute. If Owen does all these, you know, these moves, they're going to freaking cheer him. And we're mm-hmm. in New York City. And he told Owen, we're going to scrap the whole match. He said, you need to be a heel in this match. You need to, you know, do things out of your normal repertoire. That's going to really paint the picture of you being this dirty, nasty heel.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. Owen still ended up going over, but you could definitely see the difference in regards to what he was doing prior to the heel turn. And then, of course, the match he had with Bret, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, and again, maybe that didn't, again, I don't know who agented the match, but, you know, hopefully they can get another run at it. And I'm hoping that they do. Maybe SummerSlam, again, I don't know, but we'll definitely see what happens. But anyways, as I predicted, Jimmy did win the match. He did win the match.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, cool. You know, that was all
right.
You know,
next
that's all you can
match.
Say.
Like, right. Like, okay. All right.
Now, of course, there was a 6-woman tag. It was a lot of tag matches. I mean, mm-hmm. think about this. The open, you figure the second match was a tag match. The third match was a tag match. The fifth match was a tag match. And the main event was a tag match. You would think that Teddy Long booked this WrestleMania. I mean,
good right?
Shout out to Theodore R. Long. Shout out to Teddy Long. But we do have a 6-woman tag match, Damage Control, which consists of Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. And they took on Naomi, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill. Let me tell you something. That entrance was epic.
Mm-hmm.
They legitimately looked like three superheroes coming down that the stage when it was lowering down.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that entrance a little bit.
Ah, my goodness. What? I mean, just three beautiful black women.
Mm-hmm.
Just, they put on a great match. They looked good. In the presser, they thought they were having fun together. They're cracking inside jokes amongst each other. They're laughing and giggling. And like, Naomi bought Bianca bought Naomi the wrong grills. Like, they just had fun. And again, like we talked about before with Trinity, like, it's good to see the girls having fun. Like, yes, it's serious. Right. Yes, it's Mania. But just being able to smile and genuinely smile and be happy and have fun. Like, I love that for them.
Yeah. And I mean, you really got to see obviously they wanted to feature Jade, and something that really stood out to me is when she did a choke slam. And I said, okay, that's what I want to see, because she's tall in stature, built like a Greek freaking goddess. You know what I mean? And you want her to have those type of power moves that's going to show those type of things as far as her character is concerned. Because when you see Jade, you see power, you see strength, you see beauty, you see confidence, you see all of that wrapped into one. You have all these pieces of clay, as I mentioned, and you just wrap, that's Jade Cargill, the ultimate WWE superstar. She's meant to be there. But you know, she did and do her finish. I believe it was on Dakota Kai. And got the pin, 1, 2, 3. The match was 8 minutes, 5 seconds long. It was really to feature Jade Cargill and to get her
Absolutely.
familiarized with a broader audience and to give and get everyone familiar with her. And yeah, I truly, truly, truly loved the match. The timing was perfect. The entrances, even by both teams, were epic.
This episode of the DLU podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan friendly, gluten free, and gelatin free. All loyal listeners of the DLU podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie.com, use promo code DLEW.
Next up, the co-main event for night one was Sami Zayn challenging Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. I absolutely loved the backstage thing with Sami.
It was so smooth.
It was Sami with his wife and kid. He's walking, he's walking, he's walking. And who's waiting for him? Kevin
Yeah,
Owens.
boy.
And he was like hyping him up and all that other stuff, you know?
Apparently, he didn't know he was going to be there.
Really?
I was reading that he didn't know that KO was there and be with KO was going to be a gorilla waiting for him. Apparently, I read that he didn't know that.
But what's
That
cool
was a
about,
true
right?
reaction.
But what's cool about that is that we really get to see, because think about it. If we have, and I know you say you don't watch MMA, but when fighters walk out, you literally go in the back. The cameras are in the back as they're walking out of a locker room. And they follow them to the aisle where they're walking. So it's like, I love the fact that they're taking you literally backstage to where they're walking to the ring, through Gorilla to the ring. I love it. I really, really do. And they kept showing shots of his wife because his wife did come to ringside. And you could really see, like, during the match, like, I mean, Gunther was just beating the dog shit out of him, man. And he was just splashing him off the top rope, just boom, and then boom. Just, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, this Sammy just started hulking up, and next thing you know, I mean, and again, this match was 15 minutes 30 seconds, so the majority of the match, Gunther was really beating him down, and it told that story, that comeback, that Rocky, you know, type story. You know what I mean? And Sami Zayn hit him with what, three Huluva kicks and pinned Gunther to end his historic championship reign and became the new Intercontinental Champion. It is crazy because Sami was the IC champion before, but this one seems different.
And I honestly wasn't. I didn't think Sammy was going to win, honestly. Like, it really
No one
actually
thought, no
surprised
one
me.
thought, no, no one thought he was going to win. And I think that's the psychology behind it. That's why one of the things I love about pro wrestling is that, man, when it's unpredictable, sometimes they'll throw you a left instead of a right. And that's the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying? I absolutely love that. So kudos to Sammy on, you know, and kudos to Gunther, by the way, on, again, an historic Intercontinental Championship reign, He made it credible again. He made it mean something. You know, he really went out. I mean, he really put on some incredible matches. I mean, hell, the match last year at WrestleMania was the triple threat match with him, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. And I mean, they beat the crap out of each other. But again, he walked out, you know, still champion. So hell of a run. And I'm pretty sure that the next step is, you know, the world title.
The big boy titles.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be about the world title soon. So we'll see. And of course, it is the main event of night number one. The tag team match with so many stipulations. Mainly, if Cody and Seth lose the match, then Cody's match against Roman Reigns the next night will be under bloodline rules. Everything, anything goes. So the entrances took forever, as we knew it was going to happen.
As we know.
Yeah, Cody came out first. Then, of course, Seth did. Then The Rock comes out next. And then, of course, Roman comes out. And they do their entrances. And they were kind of testing the waters. I believe it was with Seth and Roman. So it was nice. Think about it. The Shield finally got the main event WrestleMania.
One way or another.
You know what I mean? The Shield got the main event WrestleMania. So, you know, they were kind of testing it. You know, The Rock comes in. I was kind of concerned about how The Rock's wind was. And apparently he had a 10-week program that he was training. He had a training session, 10 weeks. Kudos to, I know it was some NXT cats that were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly Bobby Roode and Michael Hayes were heavily involved in that. So huge kudos to all those guys that got Dwayne Johnson, you know, prepared. I mean, obviously, him and Roman looked like a freaking $1 million. He got shredded and bulked up a little bit for this WrestleMania. So kudos to them. And I mean, they all look great.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it went outside. Seth and Roman. It may have been Cody and Roman. I think they went out into the crowd and suplexed them on this the stand, whatever it was that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all utter chaos. I mean, if I could say your thoughts on the progression of the match.
I think that it was a great match. I think that no one thought that Cody and Seth were winning this match. Let's be honest. I'm impressed with The Rock because, again, it was a tag match, right? So if you're like, okay, I hate to say it's a protected match, but it's kind of protected, right? Like a tag match is way different than doing a solo match.
Agreed.
So I think that for what it was, it worked. Apparently Rock had like multiple rings like shipped to him in various locations. Like he had one at home in Hawaii. He had one in LA. He had one in Atlanta. The dedication, sure. I can appreciate that he recognized that he was not in wrestling shape. You can be in cardio, you can have all of the things, right? But wrestling shape is not the same shape as it is for a basketball player or for a football player. Like they're all different versions of being in shape.
Agreed.
So, I mean, it was a great match. It got the job done. And again, I don't think anyone thought that Cody and Seth were winning that match.
No, I didn't think so either. And the spot of the match was, of course, when Cody got whipped into the rope. The Rock had the Mama Rhodes weight belt. And oh, by the way, Cody's mom was mouthing. giving it to him. And The Rock he slapped him with it. And of course, he threw his finger around his neck from The Rock. And he did the people's elbow. And of course, he pins Cody Rhodes 1-2-3. I said, oh boy. And Michael Cole in my commentary said, Cody is screwed. I actually watched it back yesterday, and just hearing the commentary was just like, wow. It was just chaos even on commentary. But nonetheless, you know, the bloodline, you know, they do win. And of course, the next night, you know, Cody is going to have to face the consequences, you know, with bloodline rules. So we don't know what bloodline rules are going to be. So now we're going to move on to the next night, night two. And the opening match Well, actually, no, before I get to that, Stephanie McMahon obviously comes
Opens.
out to a surprise. She looked great. She looked healthy. You know, she had a smile on her face, and she was just reminiscing how, you know, she was an 8-year-old, you know, going to see her very first WrestleMania and seeing now that this is the Paul Levesque era. So, like I said, they're really planting that flag right in the ground saying this is our WWE now. And I truly believe this was a very anti-Vince McMahon weekend because, I mean, they literally were using the vernacular pro wrestling, pro wrestling, pro wrestling. And I said, thank God, because it's about damn time.
Yes, and I'm glad that Stephanie's back in the fold. The superstars seem to appreciate it. The crowd was very receptive to her. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that she's back. And a
What's
big
her
fuck you to her
role?
dad.
Well, what's her role gonna be though?
So they, as of today, she does not formally have a role. I think she's trying to kind of see maybe where she wants to end up. When she was head woman in charge, I didn't have a problem with that. So we'll see where she lands as far as positioning goes, or maybe she's just gonna hang out in the backstage and just be in the atmosphere for a few months and kind of just test and see where it goes. That's okay too. Like, she has a lot going on in her family. That we all know about. So I think that sometimes she needs to just kind of get away from the madness, which is weird because, I mean, the madness is the wrestling, right? But
Right.
stepping away from, like, you know what I mean? Like, that regime is gone now. So hopefully she has grown. Hopefully she has kind of worked on her own personal healing. I mean, that's a lot, end of the day, that is
100%.
your father. And you know what I mean? Regardless to right, wrong, and different, obviously he's wrong, but regardless to what it is, that's still your father. That's still a very heavy load to carry. So the fact that she even showed back up backstage kind of was probably took a lot for her. And let's be honest, she don't need the money. So if she
Well,
wants to
no.
get back in it, it's because she wants to be in the business, not because she needs a paycheck. So hopefully she takes her time, and decides where she wants to be, or if she wants to even do that route. You know what I mean? Go that route again.
Very true. And like I said, it was real. I mean, that she came out to a huge reception live at the stadium. So I was really, really glad to see her. But our opening match was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Drew McIntyre challenging Seth freaking Rollins. Let me give a huge shout out to my boy, the Broad Street Bully, Jake Manley, who was one of the Highlanders in Drew McIntyre's entrance on Sunday. So huge shout out to my boy. Proud of you, you know, for doing your thing and being, you know, being one of the chosen few that got that spot. So kudos to him for that. But man, talk about an entrance. My God. Seth Rollins with the Philadelphia Mummers string band. I actually knew someone that was in the Mummers band many, many years ago. And for those that know or don't know, you know, every New Year's Day parade in Philly, you will see the Mummers. It's the Mummers Day parade, basically, is what it is. So, you know, it was really nice to see. I think the line of the night was CM Punk said, remember 40 years ago at WrestleMania, Liberace would be rolling this grave right now. Man, because of course CM Punk was going to be on commentary for this match. So obviously Seth Rollins is selling the knee injury from the match from the night before, which is smart business. And you know, first of all, I thought they were going to pull a Daniel Bryan Sheamus, and when Drew Claymore kicked,
Immediate.
I was like, oh my God. And I thought the match was going to be over, but no.
Same.
And they're doing, you know, different, you know, all these different spots, and you know, there was a few more claymores, and you know, I think Seth did a curb stomp on the table, on the announce table, and a few more claymores later, and Drew McIntyre becomes your new World Heavyweight Champion. You know, he celebrates with his wife and another gentleman at ringside, but the camera peels around Drew McIntyre and his eyes are on CM Punk. He walked
Haunting
towards,
him.
yeah, he walked towards CM Punk. Mind you, CM Punk, let me just say, he legitimately looks happy. Oh my God, it's so good to see
I told you, man, people are just happy to be there. Like, oh, everybody's just so happy. I freaking love
Really?
it.
He even talked about it on the pre-show, what he just said. It's just that him and Big E were talking about it, how, it's a really, really different company, a different vibe, and it's a fun atmosphere, which is great. But Drew's crawling. He throws the belt on the announce table towards Punk. Punk is clapping, like he's kind of like, eh, I don't want to do this, but I have to. And Drew was crawling towards him on the table. And he's talking, he's shit talking him, he's shit talking him, shit talking him. And he stands up over Punk and he does the Crocs chop in front of Punk. And out of nowhere, Punk just freaking trips him and makes him fall on the table. And he took off his brace and was beating, he's like beating him with it, stomping him, stomping him. He blew a kiss at the crowd.
Shout
And
out
you
to AJ
hear,
Lee.
yeah, absolutely. And Damian Priest music hits, and he cashed in his money in the bank. And I think it caught Samantha Irvin off guard because she literally was screaming, "Damian Priest is cashing in money!" So excited. And Priest does a choke slam, 1, 2, 3, new world's heavyweight champion, Damian Priest. And if I may, again, Damian Priest was the product of the world famous Monster Factory. And for me, seeing one of our own do that brought absolute tears to my eyes. Now, I've only met, just for all intents and purposes, he and I are not friends. We met once. It was actually my first day at the factory. He was one of the agents for a battle royal. And that was pretty much the interaction. I just said hello to him. But no matter who comes and goes, once you're a member, once you're a factory member, you're a factory member for life. And he cut his teeth there, and he is the third Monster Factory graduate to become a world champion in WWE.
Let's go.
Big Show, Sheamus, and now Damian Priest. True story.
He looked so good last night on Raw. Oh my gosh, his suit, the
Yeah.
hair. He just looks like a freaking champion. Like, I love it. I'm here for it. His presser when he mentioned like he was homeless 10 years ago,
He
and
was.
now he's a WWE champion. Like, oh, just I love a good feel good story.
Yeah, he like and I've kind of heard the story, through various people and stuff that know him very well. Shout out to Silence the Chaz Williams. He that's actually Damian Priest's best friend. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember when Damian Priest was on Halloween Havoc a few years ago. I think it may have been during the pandemic, and the dude was playing the guitar for his theme music, had the long hair. That's Chaz Williams. He's the guitarist for the band Silencer. But I know Chaz very well because he's actually done commentary at the Monster Factory before. So I have a really cool friendship with him. But that's literally Damian Priest's best friend. They grew up together. So the fact that and he was actually there to see it live, which was awesome. So congrats, Luis. I wish you all the best on this championship reign because you definitely deserve it. Next, we have a Philadelphia street fight. First, they bring out the dog father himself for commentary, Snoop Dogg. And of course, they bring out a special guest referee. Now, you're in Philadelphia, there's a street fight. You had to bring out Bubba Ray Dudley,
I
right? So,
mean,
and it
come
was
on.
crazy because I was actually at the Busted Open the pre-WrestleMania party on Sunday as well as Saturday. But Bully had to leave. He had to leave. For whatever reason, we didn't know why.
Now we know.
And now we know. So, of course, it was chaos. There's tables, there's ladders. Oh my. The spot with B-Fab doing the Russian leg sweep on Scarlett onto the table, which was pretty unique. Was a Scarlett hitting I don't know if she hit the guy with the garbage can. I think it was Bobby Lashley. They do the what's up, they do the what's up spot. The funny thing was Karrion Kross shoving Bubba into the corner, and Bubba just took out his glasses and put them on.
Yes, I loved it. It was great. I don't want to say it was a gimmick match, but like it was just a great, like a good happy match. And it's funny because I think it's hilarious that Bubba was the referee because he always gets on, AEW and their referees and lack thereof. And he got to go out there and have fun. And like you said, it's a street fight in Philadelphia. Who other than
Right. And he
him
even
to be the
said,
ref?
right. He even said on Monday, on yesterday's show on Busted Open, shout out to Dave LaGreca once again. And I'll talk about the festivities, once we're done covering WrestleMania. But, for having, the event in Philadelphia, for us. But Bully said on a show yesterday that he never had as much fun at a WrestleMania than he did this past Sunday. Because of how intense it was back in the heyday. That was the type of environment that it was. He said he legitimately had fun. And that's what wrestling should be about, having fun, right? But anyways, they do the splash off the top because actually the table broke, which was like, uh-oh. I think they gimmicked the table a little bit too much because it literally split right
Snap
down the middle. I'm like, oh
immediately.
God. So they end up getting another table, and they end of Montez Ford does a splash, get the pin. But man, kudos to Snoop Dogg and his commentary. Oh my
Oh my
God.
God.
He was like, Grandma, Grandma.
Grandma, I'm gonna get you for busting that table.
Oh my God. Like, what? You know what? I don't know if you saw this during the pandemic when, was it Jake Paul fought Nate Robinson for that, the former basketball player? Snoop Dogg was on commentary for that. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and see it. The commentary was, it made the fight that much more. Oh God, it was so entertaining. Unbelievable. Snoop Dogg. And it just really goes to show you, Snoop Dogg is welcome in any circle.
Absolutely.
Any circle, Snoop Dogg's welcome in. I think it just really goes to show you how he built up his own brand, built up his own name, and doing all these things. And oh, by the way, may I add that the actual ads that were running during WrestleMania around the ring post, on the apron. I know they advertised gin and juice, which is pretty cool during the match. I think they had Wingstop, but the funniest one was Dude Wipes during one of the matches,
Yes.
and the crowd was chanting, "We want Dude Wipes."
Yes.
Yeah, and I know the previous regime was against that, but I'm just like, listen, if companies are willing to put ad spaces on our product, go for it.
Absolutely. I will cash that check.
Absolutely. They're printing money right now. They're printing money. But next match is LA Knight and AJ Styles. AJ Styles coming out the new music. I think that, and it definitely fits, his heel persona now, his badassery, so to speak. They had a little scuffle at the was it at the media day, actually. They had a little scuffle, and I think
WWE
that.
World.
Yeah, they did. I think it was great. It adds the realism to the storyline, So, and obviously, they go to the ring. LA Knight presents a pair of keys to I guess somebody that won the car, the Slim Jim car, and it was the typical singles match. It was a heated feud and exchange and hold all like other good stuff. But LA Knight does win 1-2-3 with the blunt force trauma is what he calls it. So I'm glad that LA Knight A got his rest got a WrestleMania spot. Number two, being able to go over because AJ doesn't need the win. He's
No.
been over already. So LA Knight needed that win more than anything, and I'm glad that he did on a big stage like that. So of course they bring out the I believe it was this match when he brought out the Hall of Famers. And this Hall of Fame class was pretty unique. You know what I mean? And obviously they brought out Paul Heyman last, to the ECW theme. He came out with the Undisputed WWE Championship, which I
Of
thought was
course.
hilarious. So kudos to all the Hall of Famers, Lia Maivia, Thunderbolt Patterson, Bull Nakano. Who am I missing? There's so many people right now.
Bo Dallas Daddy.
Oh yes, the
I can't
US
think of his
Express.
name.
Yeah,
Yes,
the
you're.
US Express. The US Express went into the Hall of Fame. I was so happy for them. And I think they needed that. You know what I mean? Considering, all that was all that's happened over the last maybe 8 months or so with Bray passing away, and it was tough. And it's just one of those instances to know that you knew that Bray would have been there, and it was tough, really tough. But yeah, but like I said, Paul Heyman, Bull Nakano, Thunderbolt Patterson, and Liam Ivey and the U.S. Express. I mean, kudos. That was a pretty unique class for sure. Now we're gonna move on to the triple threat match for the United States Championship. Logan Paul. Of course, it was iShow Speed. That was under the that was in the prime bottle, you know, again defending against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Now Logan Paul comes out on that big prime truck. Of course, his company Prime is the official soft drink of WrestleMania. They signed the I think WWE in general, because I know C4 is the official energy drink. But I think soft drink, I think it might be, or regular drink, it might be just Prime. But good for them. It's more money. You know, I mean, more money everyone's making. But Kevin Owens comes out to the golf cart, drives down the ramp. And what does he do? He backs it all the way up to the ramp to pick up Randy Orton.
Loved it.
You know, Kevin Owens needs to be in a cop movie with somebody. I don't know why, but he doesn't try hard to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He doesn't try hard to be funny at all. And just the fact that him and Orton hated Logan Paul that much, they were literally willing to drive in a damn cart, a golf cart, to the ring at WrestleMania. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a triple threat match, you know, things are unpredictable. You know, there's obviously Orton and Owens were trying to go for the pin at the same time. And it's like, okay. And then, of course, they start going at it. Then Orton goes outside of the ring. iShow Speed is exposed as the guy under the prime bottle. And Orton, did you see how Orton kicked him so hard?
Oh, baby.
You ever see, and I always reference Chappelle's show on this podcast.
I know you're right to do this. Show,
but when Charlie Murphy kicked Rick James in that hotel room, that's exactly what it looked like. Oh my goodness. He kicked the crap out of him.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Logan Paul hits Kevin Owens with the splash off the top rope to get the pin and retain the United States Championship. Like I said in my previous episode, that I felt as though that Logan Paul just needed to win more than the other two guys, because they Owens and Orton didn't need it.
No,
to me they didn't need it at all. They're going to be over no matter what. They're going to be over no matter what, and I just think that, you know, this gives more longevity for Logan Paul, for a really hot babyface to take that IC title away from him. Who it is, we shall see. I'm sorry, United States Championship. I'm sorry about that. United States title. Co-main event for the night is the WWE Women's Championship, as Bayley challenges champion Io Sky. Bayley's entrance. Oh my goodness. Wow. First off, she has new music.
Mm-hmm.
Queen of the Nile, I believe, is what she came out as.
Mm-hmm. Definitely Egyptian theme. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think they said that there's, in her hometown of San Jose, there's an Egyptian park near there, I think. Somebody was doing research on that. I love the fact that they're now saying, hey, I just got research from our social media guy that says, I'm like, dude, this is great. Like, it's not so rehearsed anymore for WWE's commentary. I absolutely love it. I really, really do. Honestly, it was a great wrestling match.
It was great.
Like, it was, I mean, for people to poke holes in the match, I'm just like, why? Like, they're two really damn good professional wrestlers, and it was really all about who was the best. And Bayley, you know, actually ushered in a brand new move. It kind of reminded me of the BFT a little bit, a modified version of it. Gets the pin and becomes the new WWE Women's Champion. I was just upset she didn't get any pyro.
We know where that pyro budget went. We know that.
But yeah, I was very surprised there was no pyro around the stadium at all. Because you know how a lot of times they'll have pyro going off around the stadium, you know, at the same time, or it's kind of like a domino effect type thing. They didn't have any of that this year.
Yeah, we know where the pyro budget went.
Well, yeah, kind of, yeah. We'll save that for another show. But of course, now it's time for the main event of the evening. Bloodline rules for the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship. Cody Rhodes challenging Roman Reigns for the title. And right away, like I felt that the tag match the night before, I thought they started off slow and then built up.
Mm-hmm.
This match started off right away. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, they immediately went to it.
And it was a fair match up until Jimmy Uso coming in. I'm sorry. Was it Jimmy? Yeah, it was Jimmy Uso. Or was it? No, it wasn't Jimmy Uso. It was Solo Sikoa.
Mm-hmm.
It was Solo. Solo comes in, and there's interference, there's interference, there's interference, there's interference. And all of a sudden, he, you know, after the he gave the Samoan spike, Cody kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena comes out, which everyone was kind of expecting, but we weren't sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cena comes out and gets, you know, Solo out of the ring. He does the the attitude adjustment. I was about to call it the FU, but it's the attitude adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
On Roman, gets out of the ring, and then of course he's beating down Solo. Jimmy Uso comes in the ring, and then Jey Uso comes down, and of course they're scrapping on the ramp, and then out of the blue, Jey just tackles Jimmy onto a table off the stage. I'm like, well, that eliminates them. You're not going to see them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, The Rock comes down, and everyone's thinking it's Stone Cold. Everyone thinking it's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. And when that gong went off, oh my God. Like, instantaneously, that crowd, we all popped. I can't even imagine what everyone at home did.
Same, immediate pop, immediate, oh shit, you know what I mean? Like, immediate, like, yes, get him.
And I thought he was going to be in, like, full gimmick. Nah, he was just said, nah, F this. I'm just showing up in my damn hoodie, Scully, and I'm going to be out.
and that's what happened. And then he immediately left.
Yep. And, of course, Seth Rollins came down. Can't forget about him. And to the Shield music, he came out in his old Shield gear, and Roman had an opportunity to either hit Cody or Seth Rollins, and he paid back Seth Rollins for what he did 10 years ago when he hit him in the back. And
it gives us something to look forward to for Roman, right?
Absolutely. And then of course Cody, you know, gets back up, and right when Roman was ready to spear him, he knees him in the face, gives him three crossroads. And rather than Michael Cole say 1, 2, 3 on commentary, he said, finish the story. My goodness. Like, drama in its purest form. I couldn't even tell you. Like, I immediately just weeping, crying. And when I saw Cody give his mom the WWE championship, I just let out this big cry.
Because
that was just so emotional, knowing that, you know, Big Dust, you know what I mean, is looking down, you know, his baby boy did it, you know what I mean? And there's one piece of business that really stuck out to me. Remember when Seth Rollins told Cody Rhodes, I'll be your shield?
And literally he was his.
That really, really stuck out to me. But
because he knew he sacrificed himself, he knew that, like,
right,
of course, he was going to come for him and not Cody, because
and that was
the theme of it, you know what I mean? Like, Drew right. getting got from Punk, you know what I mean? Like, it's that you're so focused on the one thing, you're forgetting about all of the other things. Like, it just was a common theme, so it made it perfect storytelling, right?
It was like really the ending of a movie almost, and then Cody wins, but. This was very rare. Cody gets the microphone. All the baby faces are in the ring. Jey Uso's in the ring. LA Knight, Randy Orton, Sami Zayn. Like I said, Jey Uso, CM Punk. They all come down. And he said, and Cody says, and obviously Brandy's coming down the ring with him, and he said that, you know, all this wouldn't have been possible without Bruce Pritchard and Triple H. And they all come down, and they really, I don't even think they knew that was going to happen. To happen at WrestleMania, I mean, that was just, it just felt real and it felt special. Even Cody's entrance, which I forgot to talk about, like that mat, that headgear he had on, and Brandy.
I love the pop that Brandy get. Brandy got, rather. I give Brandy a lot. But at the end of the day, she did a great job at AEW. I think that, like Cody mentioned, she was the scapegoat for a lot of things, and that's very unfortunate. I can appreciate the fact that he stood up for his wife, and I love the, I mean, you can even see on Brandy's face, she wasn't expecting that big of a pop either. Like, the crowd popped when they saw Brandy. And she just looks good. Like, she's just also a gorgeous woman, so, like, duh. Right. But yeah, no, his entrance was great. The mask, the same guy that made Bray Wyatt's mask, made his mask.
Yeah, that was, man, special. That was really, really special. And, you know, and as I was leaving the stadium, the story continues. T-shirt had just dropped.
Yes.
So there, and I grabbed mine. I grabbed mine, and I mean, I'm a very proud, very, very proud Cody crybaby, and I was a crybaby on Sunday because, A, I got to see Damian Priest, you know, win the world title, and I got to see Cody finish the story. So that was, man, you want to talk about that? I mean, just this whole week, the whole weekend was just, you know, incredible. And that will basically wrap up and kind of tie the bow on WrestleMania, but it was a long week of events that we'll definitely talk about right now.
Tell me about it. Tell me about all the things you did. Tell me about WWE World. Like, I need to hear about it.
Well, before I get to WWE World, I got to talk about Wale Mania. Actually, before Wale Mania, I actually had my own event at the world famous Monster Factory. We've been here. Sean Ross Sapp actually accompanied Shaza McKenzie to the ring to face Notorious Meanie, which I thought was awesome. I had a chance to talk to Sean Ross. Real good dude. I mean, it was Steve Macklin from TNA wrestled our heavyweight champion Goldie. So, it was a great event. And then I went right to Wale Mania, and shout out to Cameron Hawkins who got me backstage when he really didn't have to. You know, he's a really, really solid dude. Definitely looked out for me, but he's definitely done some really cool things for me. So I'll always appreciate that for him. Brian H. Waters, he was there covering the event.
Shout out to Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian H. Waters is he's a real good dude. And may I say, Kazim is another guy. He was telling me, you know, you definitely should come next year. This is last year in LA. And I'm like, yeah, do that. And next thing you know, there's so many stars in the back that I got a chance to chop it up with. You know, shout out to Big Swole. Can't forget about Big Swole. Suzette Priester, she's part of wrestling media. You know, kudos to her. Had a chance to catch up with her again. Oh, my God. There was so many. Powerhouse Hobbs. There was, like I said, R-Truth, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford, Ricochet. Samantha Irvin was there. I mean, there was so many wrestlers. Obviously, there were the guest of honor was Shelton Benjamin. So, of course, all the members of the Hurt Business was there. You know, Bobby Lashley, MVP, and Cedric Alexander. Shelton Benjamin had said something that really resonated when he said, guys, I want you guys to realize this is the very first time that the Hurt Business has been seen in front of a live crowd. And I'm just like, wow. Because that was all during the pandemic. So it was a great concert. You know, Wale performed, Beanie Siegel performed. It was incredible. And I can't wait to attend Wale Mania next year. But I did go to WWE World. And when I tell you, it is an amusement park. An amusement park for wrestling fans.
An amusement park.
I mean, I had an opportunity to take pictures in front of the Firefly Funhouse, which was awesome. I had a chance to take a picture in front of the on the porch of In Your House set. How about that?
That's awesome.
in your house set. I mean, you remember that pay-per-view. I mean, the list goes on and on of the amount of memorabilia that they had. They had robes from Harley Race, Stunning Steve Austin when he was in WCW. The list goes on and on. They had Eddie Guerrero's Lowrider there. They had that there, basically. They had a 360-degree camera that goes around you. You can hold up whichever championship belt you want to. I held up the Undisputed title, and they had all types of posters there. I even did a green screen, and they zapped out Cody Rhodes and put me on the WrestleMania poster. It was Seth Rollins and me versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. So
Love that.
I had that picture made. I actually had a trading card. You had a freaking trading card. You know what I mean? They had, trading cards. And of course, you have the ECW entrance. They had that. They had the Triple H throne. You know what I mean? They had that. So it was a lot of, just a lot of memorabilia they had there, in addition to a lot of the entrance. They had the entrance way, which was the longest line, obviously. They had a lot of people was coming out to Cody Rhodes. That let me know, yeah, this guy's over. This guy's really, really over. And truly, if they ever do, I hope they do WWE World, not just at WrestleMania, but I hope they do it at like Royal Rumble weekend and SummerSlam weekend too, because every fan deserves to at least experience that once. And I hope that someday WWE does open an amusement park. I think they should.
Yes.
And then that ended there. And then I then went to the Matt Hardy seminar, and that was just mainly for people that are in the business and stuff like that. So I did that at the WWE World. But I did go, like I mentioned earlier, to the Busted Open Radio pre-WrestleMania party at the ECW Arena. And I mean, it was electric. Thunder Rosa and Denise Salcedo was doing the pre-show. I won some trivia. They gave me some trading cards. And of course, Bully, Tommy, Mark, and Dave LaGreca, they were on the stage, and they did an actual show really previewing WrestleMania. And they had a few special guests. Obviously, you had Nick Nemeth, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler. You had O'Shea Jackson Jr., who showed up, which I thought was cool. They had Earl Hebner, Jimmy Corderas, and Brian Hebner. They showed up towards the end. Oh my God, I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, of course, then you had the Sandman that showed up, and they played Into the Sandman in ECW Arena, of course. So that was my weekend in general. Of course, both nights of WrestleMania. So when I tell you, from Wednesday, when I was doing the thing with Lane Johnson and Travis Kelce all the way till Sunday night, I was completely like out. Like, I was just so tired. But it was so worth it. It felt like I was on vacation, but I was only 40 minutes away from Philly. So it was just really, really cool to, got to experience, WrestleMania once again. And that was my fourth WrestleMania live. But I've seen all 40 as it happened, obviously through pay-per-view and things like that. So that was it was a lot of fun, to answer your question.
I'm glad. I'm so glad you deserve. I'm so glad.
Yeah, but this again, I'm motivated in so many ways now, because, and we're gonna wrap up in just a little bit, but now that I know, and I just observed a lot of things, positive things, now I know where we can go for the show, because I want the D-Loop podcast to get credentials for SummerSlam. I want us to get credentials for other events too. You know what I mean? Because now I think, now that we're going to start pushing out more wrestling content, now we're going to start pushing out more and more and more to really get this show where it should be. Because you have great knowledge, I have good knowledge, and there's nowhere to go but up. So I'm looking forward to some great things, coming down the pipe over the next couple of months. We still got to talk about soon, the arenas and stadiums impact on wrestling and things like that. That's going to be another topic, probably within another week or so.
Oh,
We'll talk
cool.
about that. But tell the folks where they can find you on social media.
All right, you guys can find me at Hi Gabby, HIIGABII across all social media platforms. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Like I said, the pleasure's all mine. Again, a pleasure to always have you on. You know, as like I said, you're the matriarch of the D Loop podcast, and we're all there's nowhere to go but up. And we'll definitely be talking soon.
Well, that does it for this week's edition of the D Loop podcast. Again, thank you, Gabby, as always, for your contributions to the show. You can always subscribe to the D-Loop podcast on multiple platforms, okay? Including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Deezer, TuneIn, and multiple other outlets. Follow me on social media at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derrick T. Lewis official page. Hit up my store, pwt.derricktlewis.com, or my other store is shop.derricktlewis.com, where you can get all of your merch, such as hoodies, tees, tote bags, mugs as well. You could check out my single, which is on multiple platforms with Angie Starr. It's called Espacion. The music video could be also seen on YouTube, Vivo app, Apple Music, and Tidal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get out of here. And as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.